1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 1, and let's read together, shall we? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I'm going to talk to you this morning about being a leader, about being a leader. Dear God, thank you again for being a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for that day that that lady gave me a gospel tract and showed me from the Bible how to go to heaven. I thank you, dear God, that I got on my knees, you broke my heart, and I trusted you as my Savior. Now, dear God, I pray that this sermon this morning, this message this morning, will be a help, not just for a few of us and not just for the men because it's Father's Day today, but I pray that all of us will pay attention because I believe all of us will be able to glean something from this sermon, this message this morning. And I pray, dear Holy Ghost of God, that I yield myself to thee and I would be what you want me to be this morning and be the vessel that you use this morning to reach folks with this truth, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We live in a day and age where this world hates God. We live in a nation, in a society that hates God. And as a result, we live in a nation that hates men. And so you see the breakdown of our society today, and you see the breakdown of our families today because of the equal hatred that our society has to God and to men. And because our society hates God so much, and because our society hates men so much, men, for the most part, have abdicated their responsibility and their duty to be the kind of man that God wants them to be. And so our society has allowed men in our society to easily surrender what has been God-given. And we have a society today where it's easy now to trade the manhood that God has given every man, to trade that in for something that's easy, that the government and our society gives us to abdicate our responsibility. For instance, it has never been easier in this country for somebody to apply for food stamps, welfare, government assistance, and thereby allowing the man not to work and to provide for his family. So when you have that kind of thinking going on in our society, most men, when given the chance, not believing the Bible, not believing what God says, given that opportunity and given those choices, most men will say, sure, I'll get some food stamps and I'll get some welfare and I'll get some government help, whatever it is, so I can play basketball more, so I can be online more, so I can not be under the burden of a taskmaster or a boss or a supervisor telling me what to do. So I can be my own boss, I can live my own life without having the responsibility of answering to anybody. And so our society has built that system now where it's very easy for a man to just give up, walk away from responsibility, and that's what's wrong with our country. What you have in our society, and our especially our inner cities, is you have men leaving their homes, and men leaving their families, and men leaving their wives, and men leaving their children, only because, listen to me, good, someone is going to pay for their belly to be filled. Someone's going to pay for a roof to be over their heads. Someone's going to pay for them to just enjoy life without no strings attached. Enjoy yourself. So what's happened is men today would rather have their beer and their sex and their sports and their vacations and their easy time instead of obeying what God says and taking care of their wives and taking care of their children and taking care of the things that God has given them to do. Because of that, that has affected our churches. Because of the society that we live in today, that everything has been made easy, that same philosophy has crept into our churches, and that is why even in most Bible-believing churches today, they do not like strong leaders. They don't like somebody telling them what God says. They don't like telling them what is a sin and what's not right. The same philosophy that the world has is the exact same philosophy that has crept into most of our churches today. And that's why you see these evangelical churches booming. That's why you see these mega churches booming. That's why, you know, they're wearing their flower shirts, no ties, you know, the bouncing ball on the wall. Nobody's got songbooks anymore, and hardly anybody uses the King James Bible anymore. And so what you have is a lot of spineless people following spineless leaders. So that's why you have, you know, we were out visiting yesterday and going somewhere, wherever my wife and I were going, following up, and we passed the basketball court, and the thing was jam-packed. They're there on Saturday, and I love playing, well, I like blood sports, amen. I like hockey and football, amen. But there they were yesterday, on a beautiful Saturday. I'm not against vacations. I'm not against going out to the mountains. I'm not against playing sports. Don't misunderstand. Don't take anything out of context. But there they were in downtown Troy, and then the park was jam-packed. And I'll guarantee if I went through there, 90% were unemployed on food stamps and welfare. Guaranteed. If I took a poll. If I went by and asked, hey, do you have a job? Where do you work? 90% said, no, I don't work. I'm unemployed. I don't have a job. But there they were packed in that basketball court yesterday. 100, 200 of them. And so what you have is the same philosophy that's in the world, especially in our nation, is now crept into our churches, where people are trying to shoot down and criticize what they consider dictators. My favorite definition of a dictator is Burl Hiles used to say, he said this one time in Connecticut, went to hear him preach years ago, 20-some years ago. He said, a pastor ought not to be a dictator, he said, but he ought to be so close that you can't tell the difference. I like that. I like that. I don't care what you vote on. I'm not changing my preaching, amen. You can vote about the piano or this piano, pipe organ. You can vote about the lights. They didn't even ask me about the lights, amen. How about that? You think I'm a dictator, you know. You think I'm a strong arm, twist everybody's arm. My son went out and bought these lights, amen. I didn't even decide. I didn't even know. This is my Father's Day gift, I guess. What I'm saying, though, is if you're not careful, listen to me good, you're going to shoot the wrong person because you have swallowed, you've been drinking the Kool-Aid from society that just because somebody is a strong leader, you automatically think, who does he think he is? Well, if you know anything about the Bible, the only way to become the right kind of leader is to become the right kind of follower. In order to be the right kind of leader, you must become the right kind of follower first. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Take your Bible, please, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 16 says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You don't think Paul was a sinner? You don't think Paul made mistakes? You don't think Paul was hot-headed? You don't think Paul wrote some, I don't want to say mean or nasty letters, but right to the point, man.
Yes, sir.
He was crude in speech, the Bible says. Take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Verse number 7. Here's what Paul said. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but watch this, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I have, a few weeks ago, I guess it was, I don't remember which sermon it was, I said something like, I said, I have never regretted, and I listed a couple things in my life, a few things in my life that I've never regretted. And I'll tell you what, one of the things I've never regretted is following strong men of God. Whether it's Dr. Hiles, Dr. Gray, or anybody else that was willing to put himself forward to be shot at and criticized because they were willing to take a stand, I said to myself, you know what, I like that kind of a leader. I like the fact that Brother Ruckman gets in everybody's face about the King James Bible, amen? You don't have to agree with all my heroes or all my leaders. You have to agree with me about everything. You don't, just don't. But I'll tell you what, our world is desperately lacking leaders that are willing to take a stand and willing to take and willing to pay the price for taking that stand. And maybe you grew up different than I did, and we come from different backgrounds, and I understand that. But I had a Greek immigrant mother. I still remember being in South Philly when she went shopping, and there we were in the, on 9th Street there after we took the trolley there. And my mom always used to pay everything with cash, and there in front of us was a family. And when I say people were obese before everybody got knew what the word obese was, there they were right in front of us, and they were paying with colored money. I didn't know what it was. I was, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, 6 years old. I have no idea. But I knew this much. My mama threw a fit. Yeah. And colored money back then, I don't know what it is today. I have no idea because I've never had it, was government money. And that fellow took his, that man, obese man, took his cart and whoever he had with him and went into a brand new, beautiful, wide, this has got to be the 60s now, the biggest Cadillac you can see, you can ever imagine. And my mama threw a fit. One thing my mama taught me is she taught me to work, amen. Now I can tell you this much, and I'm not smart, I'm not saying I'm the best father, I'm not saying I'm the best worker, but these God has blessed these hands and these fingers to provide for my family, not the government. And so when I stand before my wife and before my children, I have the authority from God Almighty to tell them exactly what I believe and exactly what I want in my home. If you take money from a government, you have to answer to that government and do what the government wants you to do. The scriptures teach that all mankind are under a duty to obey and follow Jesus Christ. That is very clear from the scriptures. You and I are commanded to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior and then to follow Him and obey Him to the best of our ability all the days of our lives. And the reason why most women are messed up today is because most women have not found a real man that they can follow because there's no real men that want to follow Jesus Christ. And unless you want to follow Jesus Christ, you're not going to be able to lead anybody, ladies and gentlemen, correctly the way God wants you to follow them or lead them. So because of this mess that we're in, mankind was created, God created mankind to follow God. Every single one of us were created to follow God. There are no exceptions to that universal principle. It's very obvious, though, that the vast majority of mankind has rejected God as their Savior. Mankind has refused to follow Him. And they've made a conscious choice, a conscious decision to not get saved and not to be born again and not to follow God. That is your choice. You're going to stand before God one day and you're going to give an account for that day that you rejected Jesus Christ. And so what you have today is you have spineless people, as I said before, following spineless leaders, not just politically, but religiously. Who is in the White House and who's in the governor's mansion is a clear indication of the people that put them there. Number one, everyone is to follow God. Number two, the majority have refused to follow God. The sooner you get these principles down, the sooner you can readjust your thinking. Number three, everybody follows somebody. Let me repeat that. Everybody follows somebody. Because we were created to follow Jesus Christ, God has placed within us the need and even the desire to follow someone. Children have an innate desire to follow the parent. They were built that way. They were structured that way. God engineered them that way. It is only when the parent refuses to follow what God says in the Word of God about how to train those children is when that home becomes haywire and those children disobey mom and dad. So a parent was in the place of God to teach the children about God. You see, your children are easy when they're 6 months old or 1 year old. But I'm flabbergasted every time I see a 2 or 3 year old controlling the parents. I said to myself, there's something wrong with that parent, man. When a 3 year old or a 4 year old can demand from the parent, and the parent come to the child, say, yeah, whatever you want, what do you want? What can I do to help? What's wrong? That's the society that you and I live in today. That's the thinking that we're being taught today. It's all about the children. Hillary said it takes a village idiot to raise a child. Yeah. Yeah, before he was the village idiot, he was a community organizer. He said, you shouldn't say those kinds of unkind things. That's because you never heard a leader say anything before. That's right, because you never heard a man of God say anything or preach anything before. Amen. So, if you know, that's not a very nice thing to say. That's because you haven't met Jesus Christ in the Bible one day. Amen. He said, Jesus was kind and Jesus was merciful and Jesus was forgiving. Yes, I want to remind you, there's the same Jesus who sat down and made that whip and chased everybody out of the temple. Amen. Yeah. See, Jesus was merciful to people who needed mercy and knew they needed mercy. But you go ahead and read Matthew chapter number 25, how he preached against the Pharisees, amen? And he wasn't in the middle of four walls inside of a Baptist church where it was comfortable to preach. He was out there surrounded by the Pharisees. There has been no Baptist preacher that's ever preached as hard as Jesus did in Matthew 25 by himself to the Pharisees. But that's long gone today. That's missing today. So people criticize, oh, my parents are so mean. Oh, they're so strict. That's what people criticize today. Yeah. Oh, that preacher is just so mean. He's just so he's just so critical of everything and everybody. Yeah. Everybody follows somebody. Take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 16. Who are you following today? Who are you following? You're following somebody. Proverbs chapter number 16. Verse number 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Before you have any sense to lead anybody, I don't care if you're a parent to a child, I don't care if you're the owner of a corporation, I don't care if you're the preacher of a church, I don't care if you're the president, the governor, some elected official, if you can't control yourself, you're not going to be able to lead anybody correctly, ladies and gentlemen. And so when you hear all these people getting caught in scandals, you hear all these leaders, this happens, that should be no shock to anybody who knows their Bible, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says in verse number 32, he that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. Everybody wants to control a city, amen? Everybody wants to be in charge of something, amen? Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. Who are you following? Proverbs 22, verse number 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. You may not like that, but that's the truth. I don't care what kind of socialist laws they pass against, you know, tax the rich. You all see those bumper stickers? You know who says that? That lazy people say that, who don't want to get a job and realize what taxes mean. The only people who say tax the rich are people who don't want to get a job, amen? People who hate God, hate the Bible, and they don't want people to get ahead by working hard and saving their money and investing wisely, amen? So all they want to, and by the way, this kind of thinking that we're preaching about is in the minority today. I understand that. It's not very popular today. I understand that. We live in a socialist, anti-Christian America today, and I understand that, but I'm telling you what God says. If you want God to bless you, forget about your government helping you, amen? Somebody called this week. I read a news report this week, and I can't remember if it was a man or a woman. Somebody called 911. They got a voicemail. Yeah. Can you imagine? You need help, and you need your local police department, the sheriff department, the state department. Well, no, state department ain't going to help you. But you need the state police to help you. You call up, and the first thing you're told is dial 911, and there you get a voicemail. Can you imagine? Your life's in danger. It's in peril. Yes, sir. and you get a voicemail from 911. Smith and Wesson will help better than 911, amen? But this is why unsaved people, listen to me good, I'm trying to help you this morning. I know that, happy Father's Day 2014, okay? All right, I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm trying to help you what kind of guy to marry, what kind of man you ought to marry, amen? God bless you, amen? Looks at, hey, a fellow that comes on his honeymoon, goes to church Sunday morning, God bless, that's the right kind of man to follow, amen? God bless you, Sarah. That's the truth. Yeah, you're not home anywhere, you're all by yourself, where nobody knows where you're at, but they show up on church, amen? That's what a real man does, amen? Doesn't sleep in and watch a football game, amen? Doesn't sleep in and watch a basketball game, amen? That's what the lazy bums do. That's easy to do that. So this is why unsaved people follow their gods, listen to me good, the way Bible believers should follow Jesus Christ. Parents take their children to sports games every night of the week. They drive all across the county, going from one end to the other, from one school district to another school district, basketball games and soccer games and tennis matches and badminton and all these other kinds of things. Then on the weekends, they go to other games and championships, so they travel all over for special events. But, of course, they couldn't do that for God because it's just too difficult, you know. Church is just too far. People watch and follow professional sports. People watch and follow college sports. People watch and follow high school sports. Listen to me good, like they worship a god and follow a religion. So their god is sports. Their god are their children. People go to concerts and follow their favorite singer all across the country, you know. The Grateful Dead.
Yes, sir.
People swooned to Frank Sinatra and Elvis, the mafioso and the drug head, the Beatles, the queer sodomite, I don't know what he is, Elton John. I don't think he knows what he is. Bieber, the crap singers, I mean rap singers, same thing, same thing. People, rock and roll, disco, heavy metal, soft rock. The country western, the blues, jazz, and they follow all these musicians like they're gods. And they are their gods. But the same people say, you know what, you're going to a cult. It's kind of dangerous over there, don't you think? They're very narrow-minded. They're very bigoted over there, aren't they? That's exactly what you hear. That's what I heard, and that was 30-some years ago. People go to shows on Broadway. They enjoy going to shows and dressing up. And following their favorite actors and actresses and watching all their movies. And they know they've memorized all their lines and they spent all their money and all their time and all their resources trying to keep up with Hollywood and their movies. Politics is the same way. Politics to some people is their God. They can't live without politics. I was interviewed last week. Somebody, can you imagine, 2-3 months later after the gun giveaway, somebody called me up from Arizona, interviewed, and said, well, why do you think you get involved? I said, I'm not getting involved with politics. They're getting involved with me. I said, we've always believed this. We haven't changed our mind. We haven't changed our position. They've changed their laws. So I'm not supposed to say anything because government changed their laws? I don't care who's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And let me tell you something. People got mad at me when I said we shouldn't go into Iraq 10 years ago, amen? And you see why this week, why we shouldn't have gone there in the first place, amen? If you want to do anything, have the gun manufacturers in America a booming business and sell both sides ammunition, amen? Let them kill each other or make it a parking lot. That's what I said 10 or 15 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago. That's right. And I still believe that, by the way.
Yes, sir.
You say, that's cruel and inhumane. Well, I don't think it was worth over 4,000 Americans dying over there. That's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. But you don't have a leader who says, no, it's not the right time. See, leaders have to say no. They have to rule their own spirit, even when the emotion runs high. I don't care whether it's at home. I don't care whether it's at church. I don't care if it's nationally. A ruler controls himself and controls his emotions and say, nope, we're not going to do that.
Yes, sir.
I may like to do that, but I'm not going to do that. It's tempting to do that, but I'm not going to do that.
Amen.
So, politics now has become people's gods. They're on the verge of committing suicide because your favorite candidate doesn't win, amen? Although, isn't it great that Eric Cantor lost, amen? couple of amens there, a little more amen? Huh? Yeah. But religion is the exact same way. Yeah, religion can be your God too. Yeah. You can follow religion without following Jesus Christ. Yeah. Salvation minus Jesus Christ equals damnation, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care how much you like your religion. I don't care how much you like your church. I don't care how much you like your newfound denomination or religion. I don't care if it's Buddhism, Muslim. I don't care if it's Baptist without Jesus Christ. You can enjoy your church and your functions and your 501c3. You can enjoy the festivities. You can enjoy all the organization has to offer. But without Jesus Christ, it's all in vain, ladies and gentlemen. News junkies the same way. I love news. Don't misunderstand me, man. I keep up with the news as much as possible. But you can get to the point where you can worship that thing, you know. That's all you think about is the news. What's going on in the news? Money's the same way. People worship money. The love of money is the root of all evil, amen. People work just to make some money. That's the only reason they work, because they love their money. Hobbies the same way. Health. America's in a fitness craze, you know. Every once in a run, you know. Run on the highway, smoking, breathing all that carbon dioxide. Go ahead. You know how stupid that is? If you're running, don't get mad at me. If you want to run, go up on the mountains and run somewhere, amen. Get some fresh air, man. Why don't you get yourself a garden and toil in the garden, amen. Till that garden, plant some plants, weed the garden, and you get some fresh air. But you want to run behind four-lane highway. Breathing all that carbon dioxide, man. You're healthy, man. Well, you're going to run, man. You're a show. You know what they're doing? They're showing off their bodies because they're enjoying their God themselves. That's why they go to these gyms. I'm telling you. If I was interested, listen to me good. If I was interested in going to a gym and working out, it would be cheaper for me in the long run to buy a machine and put it in my home instead of getting in my car, spending the time, spending the gas, and going to some fitness center where 500 or 200 people are going to go there, and all they're going to do is watch each other and meet and hook up. Don't tell me it's for your fitness and for your health. I don't believe that at all. If you're concerned about your fitness and your health, you'd eat right, amen. You go for a walk in a country somewhere, amen. You do some physical exercise that's good for you. But these things are our gods now. And so spineless people follow in the multitude of the people that follow these false gods. They follow along like sheep. We're sheep. The Bible says we're sheep. You're either following Jesus Christ or you're following some false god. Who are you following today? Huh? You're following some person because he or she is the same ethnicity? You're following somebody because he or she is the same denomination? He or she is the same background? They were born in your city, so you got to follow them? Have I ever told you how much I hate Disney? I hate Disney with a passion, man. I love shooting Bambi, amen. These new cartoons bother me. They do bother me. People are more interested in their fashions and their fads and their name brands and labels than they are in Jesus Christ. They're more concerned about the fashions and the fads and the name brands and the labels more than dressing the way God in the Bible says to dress. They're more interested in their children watching Disney cartoons and other cartoons instead of reading stories from the Bible, like John said in the adult Bible this morning, about what a great God that we have, the miracle-working God that we have. So you buy your kids these little stupid books with, you pay $3 and $5 and $10 from children's books that are just fairy tales. To soak up their minds on fairy tales. We wonder why our kids are messed up, because the parents are messed up. If you can't follow God right, then you're not going to be able to lead correctly. I don't care who you are. That's why the best general came up from the enlisted ranks, amen? And I'm not against generals who were never enlisted. Don't misunderstand me. But the best general is a person who knew what the private went through, knew what the sergeant went through, and knew what the staff sergeant went through. They make the best leaders when you come up the ranks. You're not going to like this, but I believe there are more men of God on farms and steel factories than there are behind pulpits and going to Bible college today. Yeah, you mark it down. When you don't even know the difference why King James Bible is the inspired word, don't tell me you're a man of God. Don't tell me that you're some kind of leader. But everybody wants to go with the flow, you know? No, they don't want to fight about doctrine. They don't want to fight. They don't want to go soul winning, tell people how to go to heaven. They don't want to knock on anybody's door. They don't want to stand on a street corner and preach. They don't want to announce to the world that Jesus Christ is coming back again and prepare yourself and get ready. If you cannot follow correctly, you will never be able to lead correctly. I don't care whether it's parents or children. I want to remind you something. Girls are going to become wives one day. And then they're going to become mothers. And she's either going to be a witch or she's going to be a blessing. I want to remind you that boys one day are going to become a man. And then they become husbands and fathers. He's going to either be a lazy bum or he's going to do something for God. I remind you that male church members one day should become leaders and elders and pastors, missionaries, and live for God and serve God. But today, the world has affected us. That's why nobody goes soul winning just about. Everybody's afraid to knock on doors. Nobody wants to rein in the home. Nobody wants to rein in on doctrine. Nobody wants to rein in on music. Nobody wants to rein in on dress. Today, most all the leadership positions in our country and our churches are filled with rebels, listen to me good, who did not want to follow God, but want others to follow them. And just because you're a leader doesn't mean you're a right leader, because in the Bible, you could be a wicked ruler or a good ruler. Just because you're ruling doesn't mean that God's blessing you. Even if you're in the majority, it doesn't matter to God. You are not a leader, men, when you take government assistance to provide for your family. You are not a leader, gentlemen, when you shirk your duty to provide for your home and expect your wife to help pay the bills. As long as I'm physically able to, I'm going to provide for my family. I know what you're going to do. That's why most men don't want to fight, or they fight the wrong battles. They're afraid to stand alone. And this is another thing that they talk about, these people that you ought to be afraid of. They call them lone wolves or something like that. You know, people that are by themselves. I remind you that Jesus was by himself, and John the Baptist was by himself, and Daniel was by himself, and Jeremiah was by himself, and every great man of God was always stood by themselves. But it's our world's thinking that, you know, be careful of people who are just all by themselves. See, a leader doesn't care what the majority, a leader doesn't put his finger up in the air and say, I wonder which way the winds are blowing today. I'll go that way. I'll go that direction. I was praying for the bikers rally last week up in Warrensburg, amen. They asked me to pray for them, amen, the gun rights thing. And somebody pulled me aside because they had politicians there and radio announcers there and some other people there. Boy, that sheriff in Warren County, man, that's the guy who ought to run for governor or president of the United States, to be honest with you. God bless that man. He had the best speech of the day, man. And somebody pulled me aside and said, you know, you ought to think about running for politics. I'd get maybe about 6 votes, amen. I don't know if the people in my church would vote for me, amen. I said, no, I ain't running for politics because I ain't going to change my message. I'm not changing my doctrines. I'm not changing my standards. I'm not changing my music. I'm not changing my dress. I'm not changing my pressure. I'm not changing anything about the holiness of God. I'm not changing anything about what God showed me in the Word of God. Just because it's convenient or just because it's easier today. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter number 12, since we're there. Who are you following? Who are you following? You're following somebody, and it's going to affect you for the rest of your life and your children for the rest of your life and the people that you come in contact with. Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. We covered that last week, didn't we? Right? But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. So you want to follow Michael Jackson, huh? Yeah. You want your kids to have all their albums and all their records and sing and dance just like that. Don't even know what he is. What it is, to be honest with you. Yeah. Yeah, and then you wonder why your kids are messed up. You shovel your kids all this junk because you think it's cute, you think it's popular, and you can't say no to the world. You can't say no to Satan. You can't say no to sin, and so you just let them go. Give them to the world. Proverbs 28, verse number 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. I think we covered that last week, don't you think? You just don't believe it. Like John said earlier in the old Bible, so you just don't believe it. Remember the sack, the 50-pound sack up here? You just don't believe it. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall stay on welfare, on food stamps, child support, maintenance, alimony, and everything else that the world has to offer for you because you're following vain people. You're going to marry the wrong jerk. You're going to marry the wrong witch. You're going to have with children that are rebels for the rest of your life. You're going to pull out your hair, and then you're going to blame God because you didn't want to follow God. All you had to do is follow God, and God would have shown you the right man to marry, and God would have shown you the right woman to marry, but you didn't want to follow God. It was too strict, too narrow-minded, too old-fashioned for you, huh? You're going to reap exactly what you sowed. Yeah. Yeah. Bless God, I've been married 31 and a half years, brother. I was blessed the same day my wife was cursed. Amen. Yeah, I got the better part of that deal, amen. You better believe it, amen. But I knew who I wanted to marry, amen. I knew what I wanted in a wife. I knew what I wanted. And by the way, that's why you had this kind of a church, because my wife doesn't fight me, amen. You know how many churches you go to and the wife is fighting the preacher all the time? And so you better not talk on this. You better not teach this. You better not say this. Because the wife that controls the home, amen. And the wife controls the church. And she's the one who makes a, who stomps her foot down and says, oh, you better do this. Yeah. 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 I want to remind you that it was a law in Pennsylvania that you are not allowed to hit your wife with anything thicker than your thumb. And that's where they, a stick, anything thicker than a thumb. And that's where they get the rule of thumb, by the way. How was America 200 years ago? How was America 100 years ago? How's America today? Say, you're too mean. Oh, you, thank God you don't want to live with me, amen. We were skeet shooting yesterday, man. Don't get in our way. I gotta remember this. I'm not going to say anything about Rich or Jarvis anymore, man. Because I was just throwing the skeet yesterday, man. I'll tell you what. These guys must have grown up 3 years old shooting skeet, man. I got to be careful when I preach now. Sorry. I have my limits, amen. Who are you following today? Take a Bible, 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, please. Who are you following? Hey, son, teenager boy, man, dad, who are you following? First Thessalonians, chapter number 1. Paul wasn't afraid. Hey, if Paul's following Jesus Christ, why would it be wrong to follow the Apostle Paul? If some preacher is willing to stand up for God and follow God, what's it wrong following a man? If he's right, you're going to follow somebody. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Verse number 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Look, I went to church years ago with a fellow. And I'm not, I don't want to go overboard on this, but, you know, he had a family, and he was on the, he surrendered to be a missionary. And he thought the best way to be a missionary was to take government assistance, food stamps, and welfare while he's on deputation. Now, if you think I'm going to support somebody like that, and he's on the field somewhere. But if you think I'm going to support somebody like that, no, sir. No, I ain't going to do it. I'd rather, in the world's eyes, I'd rather flop, but be a success in God's eyes, amen? Yeah. I'd rather be like Jeremiah all by himself in the dungeon, preaching against his own people. When it looked like he was just a traitor to his own kind. But Jeremiah stood for God by himself. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Who are you following? Verse number 14. For ye brethren. Well, let's read 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because, watch this, when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the what? Churches of God, which in Judea and in Christ Jesus For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. We have this movement today in our country that nobody wants to go to church. And I'm not against home church because it's in the Bible. But home church, listen to me good, applies in Cuba, communist China, the Muslim world, where you're not allowed openly to go to church. People have home church today. If you're going to have a church, then invite everybody to come to your church and not just have your little three or four gathered together and just read the Bible because you don't like a preacher telling you what's wrong. Hello? I'm not against home church. It's in the Bible. But when you have the freedom and liberty to go in an old-fashioned hellfire damnation independent Baptist church, why in the world are you not going to church? Why in the world are you not going to church? What do you do with Hebrews 10:25? You just don't read it. You disobey it. And then you wonder why. Then you wonder why when they find out, when your kids grow up and find out why you disobey God and they're going to disobey you, you're going to find out why. It'll be too late then. You get your kids in church. You get them on that bus. Get them in Sunday school. You have somebody cram this book down their throat, and you teach them how to sit still. You teach them to love God. And I'm telling you, you're going to be thankful one God. You're going to be thankful one day that you taught your children to do right because God said so. But nobody likes strong leaders today. They're just loudmouths, you know. Who's he think he is? He's got a chip on his shoulder. He ain't going to tell me what to. That's what Marlon Dietrich said. Yeah. Marlon Dietrich was one of the first women in America that wore pants. They asked her why, and she said this, because no man's going to tell me what to do. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and be like Marlon Dietrich and all the other Hollywood stars in the Hollywood there. Come on. Go follow their example. Married, divorced 3, 4, 5 times, committing suicide. Yeah. My Bible says in Isaiah they follow strong drink. Yeah. People want to follow liquor and alcohol and gambling. They want to follow that. They're fighting over where they want their casinos at because it'll bring in tax revenue. Forget about God. Forget about what's right. Forget about the decency that and what God says. All we're concerned is about money. That's all we're concerned about. Happy Father's Day. John 21, we'll close with this. John 21. That's why our military is headed, because nobody likes to take orders. I personally think every young man ought to go to Marine Corps boot camp 3 months. I personally believe that. And old men, too. John chapter number 21. Verse number 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple, watch this, whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And you know that's the Apostle John that wrote the Gospel of John here. That was John that was leaning on Jesus' breast there, you know, that supper before he was crucified, arrested. It was John that Jesus, the Bible says, loved. The disciple that Jesus loved. And he followed Jesus. Hey, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Or do you love, listen to me good, do you love religion or money or fads? Things are going to pass away. Things that are vain, vanity. What is it that draws your attention? You have to have it. I'd rather have Jesus, amen. You can take it. You can take this building away. I'll tell you what, this building has no strings attached to me at all. Maybe some memories because I'm human. I understand that. It might have some attachment in my mind because we have a lot of memories in this building, and the old building had a lot of memories too, amen. But you can take this building away from me, amen. I'd rather have Jesus, amen. This pulpit is very sentimental to me because Jeff Seeley built this pulpit. The other pulpit was nicer, the one that we got here. I don't know where they stored it, where they moved it. It was beautiful. It was ornate, and that's the old wood here. It's a little darker wood, just like the other wood here. It's beautiful. It's fancy. But I like this pulpit because Jeff Seeley made this. It's very sentimental to me. But you can burn the pulpit. I love the King James Bible. I love the old-time religion. I love everything about church. I really do. But you can take everything away from me. You can't take Jesus from me, man. You can put me in a cell somewhere, burn everything else I got, take my home, take my wife, take my children, take my liberty away. You can't take Jesus from me. If you love Jesus, I'm telling you, listen to me good, it don't matter who's in the White House. For you personally. Your heart breaks because of what's going on in the country. For you personally, it doesn't matter who's in the governor's mansion. Your heart breaks for the rest of the state. Your heart breaks for the laws that they're passing. Your heart breaks for that. But if you think it's going to affect me personally, I'm going to preach. That's the way I've always preached. And I'm going to enjoy life the best way I know how, the way God wants, because I love Jesus. Sir. Ask a question. Who are you following today? You're following somebody. You're following something, or you're following Jesus Christ. I didn't get to the verses, but God, the Bible says, took David from the sheep coat following the sheep. Three verses in the Bible, God took David from the sheep. He was following the sheep. And God made David a great king and a man after God's own heart. You think it's too mundane in your life just to follow the simple, boring things of life. You get upset when your dad or mom tell you to pick up the toys or put your clothes away or clean up your room. If you can't do that, then you're not going to be used of God, ladies and gentlemen. You get upset when your husband tells you to do something. You're not going to be able to teach your children correctly. And then listen to me good. You get mad at the preacher. You get mad at this kind of preaching, ladies and gentlemen. You're not going to want to hear John the Baptist preach. Because he's going to be on channel 1 when you get to heaven. Jesus is going to be on channel 3. The Apostle Paul on channel 4. Dr. Gray on channel 5. And everywhere you turn, that's all you know is a television. That's all you're going to want to know. And you're going to hear nothing but old-fashioned preaching. Amen. If I were you, I'd change right now and start following God. If I were you right now, I'd change your mind. Right? And repent. Change your mind and start following Jesus Christ. And you'd be surprised and shocked how God will bless you. And your family, and your children, and your church, and your life. It's never too late if you're breathing. Let's all stand, shall we?